The Voice of Reason Broadcast Network is proud to present Mark Weber's World Watch. Mark Weber is director of the Institute for Historical Review, an independent think tank and publishing center. Visit them at ihr.org. And now, here's your host, Mark Weber.
Hello. Many critics of Israel and its policies make a sharp distinction between Israel and its state ideology, Zionism, on the one hand, and Judaism, or the Jewish religious tradition and outlook, on the other. Anti-Zionist groups with names such as Jewish Voice for Peace or Jews for Justice for Palestinians, and anti-Zionist periodicals such as the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, emphasize humanistic aspects of the Jewish tradition, and they appeal to Jews to reject Zionism and instead embrace humanistic features of Judaism and the Jewish tradition. Such groups, while critical of Israel and its policies, claim that the organized Jewish community has played a basically positive role in society, but that sometime in the 20th century, most Jews somehow jumped the track by embracing Zionism and its aggressive nationalism. In fact, and as I'll explain today, the cruel and arrogant policies of Israel and the attitudes of what is called the Israel lobby or the Jewish lobby or the organized Jewish community are not an aberration, but rather are features of an outlook that is rooted in Jewish religious writings and in centuries of Jewish tradition. Most people prefer pleasant myths to unpleasant truths and prefer to believe what is most comfortable and agreeable. That's one reason why so many of us like to think that all religions fundamentally share common humanistic core values and are all striving, each in its own way, for the same ultimate truth. But Judaism is not just another religion. It's unique among the world's major religions. In its essence, the core values and ethos of Judaism are markedly unlike those of Christianity, Islam, and the world's other great religions. Christians believe that Jesus suffered and died for all people, and Christians are called upon to spread the Christian message to humanity. In the same way, Muslims believe that the message of the Quran is meant for all humanity, and they are called upon to bring everyone to Islam. But that's not the message of Judaism. Its teachings are not meant for all people. Its morality is not universal. Judaism is a religion for one particular people or community. The Jewish religion is based not on a relationship between God and humanity, but rather on a so-called covenant or contract between God and a chosen people, the Jews or Hebrews, or what is sometimes called the people of Israel. The major holidays in the Christian calendar, such as Christmas, Easter, and so forth, recall significant dates in the life of Jesus. Similarly, the major holidays of the Muslim calendar recall key dates in the life of Muhammad. But the major holidays of the Jewish calendar recall important events in the history of the Jewish people. One major reason why the role of the organized Jewish community is a problem in our society is because most Jews in America manifest a strong loyalty to a foreign country, Israel, that, since its founding in 1948, has been embroiled in seemingly endless crises and conflicts with its neighbors. But there is another reason. The role of the Jewish community is also a harmful one, because Jews are encouraged to regard themselves as separate from the rest of humanity and as members of a community with interests quite distinct from those of everyone else. This us versus them attitude, this mindset that sees Jews as distinct from the rest of humanity and which views non-Jews with distrust, is rooted in the Jewish religion and in centuries of tradition. Christians are supposed to live their lives in accord with the Bible, and especially the teachings of Jesus as laid out in the four Gospels of the New Testament, just as Muslims are supposed to live their lives in accord with the Quran. Similarly, Jews are supposed to live their lives in accord with the principles laid out in the Hebrew Scriptures, which is also known as the Old Testament. The Hebrew Scriptures tell how Jews should think of themselves and how they should interact with non-Jews. A core message of the Hebrew Scriptures is that Jews are a divinely chosen people, a unique community that is distinct from the rest of humanity. In the book of Deuteronomy, for example, we read, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples that are on the face of the earth." The Jewish scriptures also refer to Jews or Hebrews as a people that shall dwell alone, or, in another translation, as a people dwelling alone and not reckoning itself among the nations. In the book of Exodus, we read of the Jews as a people distinct from all other people that are upon the face of the earth. The scriptures also explain that if Jews uphold the covenant and maintain their separateness from all others, they will be rewarded with great wealth and power over other peoples. In one chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, Jews are promised that God, quote, "will set you high above all the nations of the earth," and that "all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you." In another passage, God tells the Jews, "For the Lord your God will bless you as he promised you, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and you shall rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over you." In the book of Genesis, we read, "May God give you of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you." In another passage in the book of Deuteronomy, God promises to Jews, "to give you with great and goodly cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and cisterns hewn out which you did not hew, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant." In the book of Isaiah, we read, "Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. The sons of those who oppressed you shall come bending low to you, and all who despised you shall bow down at your feet. Aliens shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory." In the book of Joshua, we read, "I will give you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you dwell therein. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive yards which you did not plant." In the book of Psalms, God says to the Jews, "Ask of me, and I shall make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them to pieces like a potter's wheel." In the book of Deuteronomy, Jews are promised, "Then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread, as he promised you." In another passage, we are told that God says to his chosen people, "This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the peoples that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you." The moral code laid out in the Hebrew Scriptures commands one standard for Jews and another for non-Jews. In keeping with this ethnocentric morality, Jews are told that they must discriminate against non-Jews. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read that God commands the Jews, "You shall not lend upon interest to your brother, interest on money, interest on victuals, interest on anything that is lent for interest. To a foreigner, that is, a non-Jew, you may lend upon interest, but to your brother you shall not lend upon interest."
Don't go away, because there's more on Mark Weber's World Watch. You're listening to the Voice of Reason Broadcast Network. Visit us at reasonradionetwork.com.
Suspected Nazi death camp guard John Demjanjuk has arrived in Germany to face a warrant accusing him of being accessory to the murder of some 29,000 Jews and others. Demjanjuk's plane landed early Tuesday morning at Munich's airport. The plane quickly taxied into a hangar, accompanied by police vehicles and an ambulance. The 89-year-old, who allegedly is in poor health, left Cleveland Monday. He was taken to the airport in an ambulance after meeting with immigration officials.
He should not be sent anywhere, because having to go through a flight and what's waiting at the other end in Germany would amount to torture to somebody in his condition and age.
Demjanjuk's deportation comes 4 days after the U.S. Supreme Court refused to consider his request to block deportation. In 2002, the United States stripped Demjanjuk of his citizenship. 3 years later, an immigration judge ruled he could be deported to Germany, Poland, or Ukraine. It was in March that Munich prosecutors issued an arrest warrant for him. The Ukrainian-born Demjanjuk has repeatedly denied any Nazi accusations. He says he was a Red Army soldier who was captured by the Nazis, spending the rest of World War II as a prisoner of war. Demjanjuk is expected to be taken to a Munich prison where he'll be formally arrested and his condition checked by a doctor. His alleged illness may be, in fact, the key to his fate. A German court is expected to decide whether he's medically fit to stand trial. No matter the decision, he's expected to spend the rest of his life in Germany. Sophia Manos, The Associated Press.
Let's return to Mark Weber's World Watch, brought to you by the Voice of Reason Broadcast Network, reasonradionetwork.com.